بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 19th of January in the year 2018 الحمد لله we moved on to the 39th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the majestic companion, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiyallahu anhu. So the next section is entitled, Concluding Remarks with Regards to the Apostasy Wars. The campaign against the apostates was thus Sayyidina Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu's greatest political and military triumph. Although the Venerable Khalif, radiyallahu anhu, would thereafter launch bold ventures for the conquest of Iraq and Syria, i.e. against the then Persian and Roman superpowers, it was by his able and successful conduct of the campaign of apostasy that he will be more famously remembered. Indeed, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's awesome stance in those most troubled days were thus never forgotten. For instance, Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayh in his Tariqh al-Khulafa, Abu Hussein rahmatullah alayh, he said, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, he took a stance in the days of apostasy, which was like the stance of one of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, subhanallah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, took a stance in the days of apostasy, which was like the stance of one of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is what the scholars have said is one of his great virtues, the great Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. And look at the praise this one of the righteous have given him. He goes, if you look at how he was reacting to the storms after the Prophet passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was like a prophet. Because he took a stance of a prophet, alayhi salatu wa sallam. His illustrious daughter, Sayyida Aisha, she said, radiyallahu in Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 9, page 50, states sahih. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 86 of the New English Translation. Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said, after the Messenger of Allah passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the Arab tribes renounced Islam, and hypocrisy reared its ugly head. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such conditions faced my father that would have crushed a mighty mountain. The companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, appeared to be like wet sheep on a rainy night in a forest infested with wild animals. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, disputed any matter, my father would eliminate its harm, take control of the reins, and then pass a decisive judgment. Subhanallah. So let's look at these blessed words from our beloved mother, Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha. So it's a sahih hadith in Tabarani. So the first thing our mother mentioned radiyallahu anha is that after the Prophet passed away, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the tribes renounced Islam. And this wasn't a joke, right? 99% of them, hypocrisy affected them, except Makkah, Medina, and Taif. Then the Prophet Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha said, such tests faced my father that would have crushed a mighty mountain. Meaning now, my father was being tested. If that test was given to a mountain, it would have crushed it. Then she described the Sahaba. Look how interesting. She goes, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were like wet sheep on a rainy night in a forest infested with wild animals. Look at the beautiful eloquence of Sayyida Aisha. If somebody says to you, how were the companions shaken? And somebody goes, well, imagine you got sheep, one of the weakest of animals, and they're in a forest, and the forest is infested with wild animals. Because that's how the Sahaba were. They came, oh my God, because who said, Sayyida Aisha? Because they were absolutely pulverized. Then she said, whenever the companions disputed, my father eliminated the harm, took control of the reins, and passed a decisive judgment. So Sayyidina Aisha was basically saying he did a superhuman job, radiallahu. Similarly, reflect upon the words of Abu Huraira. What did Abu Huraira say, radiallahu? In Bayhaqi, Ibn Asakir in his Mukhtasar, volume 1, page 124, Al-Bidayah, volume 6, page 305, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 86 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, said, I swear by the being besides whom none other is worthy of worship. No one would have been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had Abu Bakr not been appointed as the Khalif. He repeated this 3 times. So Abu Huraira didn't even mention any details. He swore a qasam, because I swear by the Holy Quran, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. And when we swear the oath, the reason we swear oath is because we're not trustworthy. So we want a person to swear an oath to make sure that he's not lying. When a Sahaba swears an oath, that's something else. Allah Ta'ala has called them adl, just in the Quran, all of them. Why are they swearing oaths? Meaning there's something mighty that they're going to mention after that. So after swearing the oath, he simply said this. No one would have been worshipping our Lord if Abu Bakr wasn't the Khalif. Because Islam would have been destroyed. So I'm narrating to you now, we're Muslims. I wouldn't be here, you wouldn't be here, if Abu Bakr had not been appointed the Khalif. That's what he's saying, radiyallahu. So meaning every single Muslim owes a great deep sense of gratitude to Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And he said that 3 times, Abu Huraira, radiyallahu. And how sublime were the words of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu, when he said, in Ibn al-Athir, in his Al-Qamil, volume 2, page 342, after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we were on the verge of destruction, except for the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the personality of Abu Bakr radiyallahu. Subhanallah, he gathered us and informed us to be united and to worship our Lord until the certainty comes. Subhanallah. So the great Ibn Mas'ud, one of the great scholars of the companions, he said he was a divine gift. Allah Ta'ala sent him to us, Abu Bakr. And he goes, he gathered us, united us, told us to be firm. Radiyallahu. Was Ali ibn al-Madini, what did he say? Rahmatullah alayh. Hafiz Zahabi in his Tadhkiratul Hufaz 2-432. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided this deen through Abu Bakr on the day of apostasy, and through Ahmad ibn Hanbal on the day of the trial. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided this religion through Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu on the day of apostasy, and through Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh on the day of the trial. So this needs a bit of clarification. He goes, apostasy, we've discussed it. Abu Bakr, the whole of Islam was put on his shoulders, and he held Islam in place. Imagine, 1 man radiyallahu. And it happened again with Imam Ahmad, the trial of the Quran. The Khalifs, the higher authorities, they were influenced by the Shayateen, and they started to then believe and propagate through state authority that the Quran is created. So imagine, you got the state authority. So the scholars, to preserve their lives, they just did, you know, they kept quiet about it. Because we can't speak, we'll be killed. So Imam Ahmad, he didn't. He goes, no, the Quran is not created. They threw him into the prison. They tortured him over 2 years in prison, on and off. And they were interrogating him about the Quran. And after he was in prison for over 2 years, the Khalif passed away. He single-handedly saved Islam. So Ali al-Madini said 2 men, radiallahu, put Islam on their shoulders. And they held it. One was Abu Bakr, radiallahu. The other was Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh. But having said all that, all of this, of course, would not have been possible without who? The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To look interesting. They're praising Abu Bakr because he was the commander in chief. But it is such a great injustice if you don't mention Khalid bin Walid, radiyallahu, because he was being used and he was integral in Abu Bakr's operations, radiyallahu. The most public display of gratitude in this regard was arranged by Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu in Ibn Asakir, Kanzul Umal, volume 4, page 350, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 648 of the New English Translation. Abu Raja Utaridi, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, when I arrived in Al-Madinah, I beheld a huge gathering at the center of which a man was kissing the head of another. And he was saying, we would have been destroyed had it not been for you. When I thus inquired who the man kissing was, I was informed that it was Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu. Then I asked, who is he kissing? And I was told, he's kissing the head of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu, for fighting the apostates who had refused to pay zakat. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So there's a ceremony. We got ceremonies for all silly things now, right? But Umar arranged the ceremony. Imagine. Radiyallahu. What was the ceremony? All of you gather in your thousands. Abu Bakr standing there. And Umar goes, I'm going to kiss him. As a public display of gratitude. And obviously, it was followed by the other companions. So this man, imagine, walks into Al-Madinah. He sees this. He goes, what's this? He's never seen Abu Bakr and Umar, which is interesting. He goes, who's kissing and who's being kissed? What is all this? And then one of the Sahaba said, Umar is kissing Abu Bakr because of his stance against those who refuse to pay zakat. Why? Because he saved Islam from destruction. So what does that tell you? He was teaching you that you must be utterly grateful to Abu Bakr. Obviously, we can't kiss his blessed head and hands now, or his feet. But how can we show gratitude? By learning about his life. Look how strange, you go to a Muslim, you can show gratitude, brother. He's a Muslim, not a prophet. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be a Muslim. Imagine, you go to any Muslim, blindfolded, any Muslim all over the world, you all owe a gratitude to one man who's not a prophet. Straight away, you got their attention. You'll think, which man is this, brother? Because every Muslim, without an exception, owes him a gratitude. Because what did he do? Good question. Now you got to learn about his life. This is what Umar was teaching the Ummah, radiyallahu. What is the invaluable lesson that the greatest man after the prophets taught us in those troubled times? This is such a huge lesson for us. Why was he given victory? One must stick to the sacred commandments at all costs. Otherwise, one would inevitably be doomed to failure. Look at all the decisions he was making. What were the other Sahaba telling him to do? Cancel it, replace the Amir with another Amir. And each and every time, what did Abu Bakr say? The Prophet appointed him. The Prophet gave the order. So what was that telling us, teaching us, future generations? No matter who or what is telling you to leave the commands, you must never leave the commands. If you do, you're ruined. Think about that. Allah Ta'ala was teaching you through an example, radiyallahu. Indeed, Abu Bakr on his deathbed, radiyallahu, he had told Umar about this. In Tabari in his Tariq, volume 4, page 43, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 87 to 8 of the New English Translation, Abu Bakr said to Umar when he was on his deathbed, radiyallahu, you have seen how I have acted when the Messenger of Allah passed away. Although it was a time when the creation was afflicted with a calamity like no other. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had I even delayed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let alone neglect it, then Allah the Almighty would not have assisted us and would have punished us instead, and indeed the whole of Al-Madinah would have been engulfed in flames, O Umar. Subhanallah. He's on his deathbed. He's now, you know, they say, like, making sure he understands this. He goes, you've seen me. You know what decisions I took. And you yourself testified, one day is greater than my entire life, one night is greater than my entire life. What's he referring to? These decisions. So he reinforces it on his deathbed. And then look what he said, something even more amazing. Is I didn't neglect the Prophet's command. If I had delayed it, we would have been destroyed. Think about that. Even if you told me, we will do it, O Khalif, we will do it. But let's just, you know, He goes, we would have been destroyed. And he goes, let alone asking me to go against it. And he goes, if I had taken those decisions, which you had asked me to, the whole of Medina would be in flames. So Umar, what was the last lesson Abu Bakr taught him? You must stick to the revelation. No matter what people tell you. This is why, look how amazing. The Prophet had left before Abu Bakr. But he saw all this. And what did the Prophet say to every single Muslim till the end of time in Ibn Asakir? It is incumbent upon my ummah. It is obligatory upon my ummah to love Abu Bakr and indeed to show gratitude to him. Subhanallah. It is incumbent upon my ummah to love Abu Bakr radiyallahu and indeed to show gratitude to him. So think about it. When the Prophet uttered those words, did the Sahaba truly understand these words? No. They obviously he lived an incredible life. But really what the Prophet was saying here was, you will only realize this when I'm telling you, after you see what he does. But who was he talking to? His ummah, not the companions. So what did Umar do? He goes, the command of the Prophet, it is incumbent. So he organized the ceremony. And everybody saw physically that, look, I'm obeying the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now look at the tragedy of this. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? It is incumbent to love him and to show gratitude to him. So somebody goes, I haven't done that. So you're going to say, shame on you. Then you say, I haven't finished yet. Not only have I not done that, I've reversed it. What do you mean you reversed it? I hate him. And good riddance. So there you go. What Islam is this? Imagine. Right? What Islam is that? And there's people, so-called Muslims now, when you talk about Abu Bakr, they can't even take his name. It's Ibn Abi Ka'afa. Ibn Abi Ka'afa. The son of Abi Ka'afa. Why can't you take his name? They have that much hatred for him. So there you go. The Prophet is telling you something. They're doing the exact opposite. At least we, as Orthodox Muslims, the worst category we can fall into is, I'm not acting upon it because I don't know anything about him. But not one of us would dare say that, you know what they say? We hate him. And good riddance. Imagine. And these Muslims, so-called Muslims, they wouldn't be Muslims without him. And that's why Imam Malik simply said, Rahmatullah Ali, just as you teach your children the Quran, we taught our children the love of the two sheikhs. Imagine, look at the effort. Oh, madrasa popping up everywhere. People phoning in madrasa, mashallah, right? Popping up everywhere. So everybody learns the Quran. All the rest of it, mashallah. Why is that important to you? And you'll give a lecture, somebody says that. Astaghfirullah, you Muslim. What do you mean? It's not you. It's Quran. You're right, brother, mashallah. You got that passion for Quran. Then he said, right, Abu Bakr and Umar. Who's that then? Why were the Salaf teaching them about the two sheikhs like we teach them the Quran? Because it's incumbent that you love him and show gratitude to him. And that's why we've abandoned this command and you've got your reaping the fruits, brother. Imagine, you've got to first get the yodana at the guy's head. Then you say, look, this person that you're insulting, you know who he is? Recently we went through the life of Umar radiallahu. Think about that. We recently went through the life of Umar and I was mentioning things about Sayyidina Umar, what they say. These are shaitans. Right? Now Abu Bakr, imagine they don't even spare him radiallahu. So let those with any intellects reflect upon all this. So these 5 months of the apostasy, he steadied the ship radiallahu. So moving on, making a start on the next section. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu, launching the campaigns first against the Persians and then the Romans. After dealing with the apostates and bringing peace and stability back to the Arabian Peninsula, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu now launched his blessed forces first against the arrogant Persians and then later the Roman Empire. So even before you move on, what? Okay, he saw the Arabs are. What's he doing now? He goes for the Persians. Do you know who the Persians are? It's like somebody saying today, yeah, after he sorted, you know, he's going for America now. After he's dealt with them, he's going for Russia. Right? So this is, you remember, you hear Persians, you don't understand what's being said here. This by itself is an outstanding fact of history, which cannot just be brushed under the carpet. Why? For would it not have been, from a military point of view, suicide to eventually launch an assault and engage on two different fronts on both the superpowers of the time? Somebody goes, "You, that is absolute suicide, mate. What was he doing?" Yeah, he sorted the Persians out, and then he thought, "I'll have a crack at the Romans as well." So there's two war fronts now against the superpowers. What else could explain the confidence of the venerable Khalif at the time, except, as the believers say, that this was divinely sanctioned, and he knew full well that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with them? What other rational explanation can there be? However, it is not the eyes that are blind, but the hearts within the chests of these astray individuals. Imagine, you say, "Listen, go to a general." "I'm not a general, but I think that's suicide." Okay, fantastic, admirable stuff. He saw the Arabian Peninsula, most admirable. What's he done now? He's taken on the two superpowers at the same time, one after the other. Yes, that's madness. Then you say, "Well, yes, you're right. But guess what? He sorted them out." Now you, as a non-Muslim, have to explain to me, where did this man get this confidence from? I agree, it's suicide. But he's taken a decision which is suicidal, but it was correct. Explain to me where he got this confidence from. We're saying he's the successor of the Prophet. Leave it to them. You watch him squirm. "Well, what it is, you can't explain it. It's a miracle." Subhanallah. In continuation, it would thus be fair to say that Abu Bakr radiallahu was thus once again now showing his completely balanced state, stern when necessary, and lenient when leniency was called for. He was a perfect man. How do we know that? There's a very famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Those of you who offer salat in abundance will be called from the gates of salat in paradise. Those who do jihad will be called from the gates of jihad. Those who do dhikr in abundance from the gates of dhikr, fasting, etc., etc." Abu Bakr said, "Ya Rasulullah, will there be any fortunate person who can go through any of these gates?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes. And inshallah, I think you are one of them, Abu Bakr." So the ulama said about this hadith, why didn't the Prophet say definitely? Because he didn't want to put pride in Abu Bakr's heart. That's why he said it that way. He goes, "Inshallah, yo, if he's not one of them, who is it? Sheikh Sahib. Darul Ulum." Right? So he was a perfect man. Think about that. He wasn't weak in zikr, strong in salat. Every gay is calling him. Jihad, salat, zikr, fasting. Where's the weakness? So now we all know he was gentle. We know that. But where was that balance? It was where you need to be tough sometimes. This is why our beloved messenger mentioned about himself, not Abu Bakr. The Prophet talked about himself when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Ahmad in his Musnad, 4-395, 4-404, 4-407, "Ana Nabiyul Rahma, Ana Nabiyul Malhama." I am the Prophet of mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "I am also the Prophet of slaughter." Imagine you go to a Muslim. Islam's all about gentleness, peace. Wasn't the Prophet a prophet of slaughter? Astaghfirullah, but you're a terrorist, brother. You're a terrorist. But the Prophet said it. I didn't say it. "I am the Prophet of slaughter." In which hadith is that, "Oh, what are you about it, brother?" He said, "I am the Prophet of slaughter." Because you came to slaughter people. You didn't come to slaughter people. But there's a time when you need to be harsh. He was the perfect man. So what do you think Abu Bakr is going to be? He's like the Prophet's shadow. Soft when he needs to be soft. Then he goes, "Okay, then show me this sternness." He took on the two superpowers. Can't get more stern than that, can you? Right? Imagine. making these decisions that even Umar goes, oh Khalifa, I think, you know, you should give them a bit more time. They don't understand. He goes, a weak man in Islam and a strong man in Jahiliyyah. Because you promised me support. Where's this support, oh Umar? Role reversal. Umar has become weak. Right? And Umar himself said that. Because I would show harshness because Abu Bakr was soft. And that's why I showed harshness. Because now I'm the Khalif, because you'll see a change. Right? So Abu Bakr, he was a perfect man. Think about that, radiallahu. So why did he target the Persians first? The proud Persian Empire was targeted first because they were nearest to the land of Iman. And because the Prophet had mentioned them first. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where? In Sahih Muslim, number 2900, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will attack the Arabian Peninsula. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable you to conquer it. Then Persia. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable you to conquer it. Then you will attack Rome. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable you to conquer it. Then you will attack the Dajjal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable you to defeat him. So what was the formula? The first we've just described for the last 2 weeks. You will attack the Arabian Peninsula. But the Arabian Peninsula saw that in the time of the Prophet. Yes, but they apostatized. So the Prophet goes, you're going to have to do it again. And he did it. Who did he mention next? Then Persia. Look how amazing these statements were. The Sahaba must have thought, we can attack Persia. You will conquer it. Allah will help you. Then Rome, which hasn't happened. Then Dajjal. So note, he had a mandate. Now, just to add this, Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhu, he became Muslim, you know, after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. But he himself, he witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the early years. So imagine, he's in Makkah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the message gone public, Islam really hasn't spread anywhere. And Khalid bin Walid said, Subhanallah, I heard with my own ears, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was saying to us, soon the land of Al-Hira, you will be the owners. Al-Hira. Al-Hira is the, you know, one of the strongholds of the Persians, one of their major, you know, cities. Al-Khalid himself said, I heard this. And I was confused. Because how are we going to take Al-Hira? And who was the one who took Al-Hira? The one who said, I found it hard to believe. The very same Sahaba. And that's why when he was actually going towards Al-Hira, he was showing immense gratitude. He goes, Alhamdulillah. He goes, there I was thinking, how is that going to happen? And now here we are, marching towards Al-Hira. So it was amazing. These last statements of the Prophet will come true. We're in the same Rome. Somebody says, Rome, come on, brother. Rome. How are you going to attack Rome? Oh, what are you about it, brother? Are you Muslim? Yeah, you got to believe in it. Then, yeah. Then the Dajjal's coming. Then you're going to defeat him as well. Subhanallah. And this is your test. To finish, what did the Prophet say in another hadith? In Hakim Sahih. He goes, you will take Rome and Constantinople. So the Sahaba was asked, which city first? And the Sahaba were told, Constantinople. So now there was two cities, Constantinople and Rome. They were both powerhouses of the Romans. Rome still is. Constantinople is now Istanbul in Turkey. How many years did they have to wait for Constantinople to fall? Over 800 years. So imagine, for 800 years it was Iman. We believe it, the Prophet said it. Sahaba passed away. Still haven't taken Constantinople. Tabi'in passed away. Still haven't taken Tabi'in. Salaf passed away. Imagine, look at the test. When are we going to... Maybe this hadith is not... You know, they get these doubts. 800 years later, Sultan Fatih took it. Rahmatullah alayh. Then he goes, Rome's next. So if it took over 800 years to take Constantinople, then why are you finding it strange that, okay, 1,400 years have passed, Rome hasn't been taken? Well, just add another 800. Be just at least. Maybe 1,600 years will take Rome. But it will happen. So think about that. So all these are statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we could have the honor, imagine. It's bypassed the previous generations, but we might have the honor to see it. And what will that do to your iman? Imagine, you know, subhanAllah. We shouldn't even be shocked at these statements. Because when you show shock, it shows your weakness of iman. You should say, well, the Prophet said it. What are you shocked for? The fact that you get shocked, oh, it's come true. Didn't you believe it, brother? SubhanAllah. So all I mentioned today was basically wrapping up with regards to the apostasy. And of course, the praise primarily falls on the blessed shoulders of Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiyallahu. And the companions of the Prophet made sure that the Ummah understood this. Not forgetting it was a command of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then I mentioned his so-called suicidal mission now, to take on the two superpowers. But it wasn't suicidal, it was pure iman on the part of that magnificent man. And he knew Allah Ta'ala would help. And alhamdulillah, he did. But not the first port of call was Persia, because the Prophet mentioned it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are there any questions? Let's ask. سبحان ربي الحمد سبحان اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وقل لا اله الا انت سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصل الحق وواصل الصبر